The words of Jesus, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Oh, friends, there are no sweeter words and no greater hope ever given. Let's discuss the Savior's way today from the International Gospel Hour. Stay with us.
On Jordan's thorny banks I stand.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. For 90 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You are about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour, starting now.
I am bound for the promised land.
Well, once again, thank you to our Jay Webb for his kind words, and greetings and hello, everyone. Great having you with us for our weekly broadcast from the International Gospel Hour. We are blessed to offer a number of tools of use from International Gospel Hour, and one of them is our YouTube channel. If you'd like to see what I look like, well, that's about the best opportunity you can have, friends. Not only can you hear me here, but you can also see me there. If you go to International Gospel Hour on YouTube, just type International Gospel Hour in the subject blank. You'll have access to our broadcast, our television program that airs worldwide. You'll also see some clips from the late Winfred Claiborne, our second speaker of the International Gospel Hour. And we hope that our YouTube channel will be of help to you as we study the Word of God together. We also would like to pause at this time. I want to defer back to our Jay Webb. Let him tell you a little bit about our Facebook page. Then I'll come back and begin our broadcast today as we discuss the Savior's way.
For our Facebook friends, please follow us at our page, International Gospel Hour. Just search International Gospel Hour, click follow, and keep up to date with our broadcasts and special announcements along the way. That's International Gospel Hour on Facebook. And feel free to share our material on your Facebook page.
This weekly broadcast begins a discussion of the Savior's way. In a conversation with Thomas recorded in John 14 and verse 6, our Lord said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." If this expression were to be truly understood by everyone, each would come to realize that it is one of the most remarkable statements found in the Word of God. If we could fully understand everything concerning John 14, verse 6, we would have an adequate knowledge of God's Word. Many times we read a passage hurriedly and fail to give proper consideration to it. We need to meditate upon this Word day and night, as is said of the good man in Psalms 1. Christ said a number of things concerning the way, and I want to affirm that the Bible teaches that Christ set forth a way of life. As we follow Christ, the way, we have a new and living way that has been dedicated for us by Him. This way becomes a way of conduct, a way of thinking, a way of action and reaction. This way is often referred to in the New Testament when people have in mind the New Testament church, the Church of Christ. There are six passages in the book of Acts in which the way is mentioned. Number 1, Acts 9, verses 1 and 2. But Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus unto the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Number 2, in Acts 19 and verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, or different people were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Number 3, Acts 19, verse 23. And about that time there arose no small stir concerning the way. Number 4, Acts 22 and verse 4. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Number 5, Acts 24 and verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call a sect, So serve I the God of our fathers, believing all things which are according to the law, and which are written in the prophets. And number 6, Acts 24:22. But Felix, having more exact knowledge concerning the way, deferred them, saying, When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will determine your matter. Now we can further analyze these passages by subdividing them into 4 categories. Category number 1, we learn that people had membership in the way. Number 2, we learn that the way was persecuted. Number 3, we learn that Paul and the other early Christians taught and preached the way. Number 4, we learn that in the way was the way of service and worship. So friends, what do we preach when we preach the way? It would not be sufficient for me to come before you and merely say over and over again, the way, the way, the way. But this is all some people do when they preach Jesus. They never tell you what to do to accept him. Denominational preachers may tell their audiences that they should accept Jesus Christ, but none of them ever say what a person must do in order to accept Christ. Now, what do we do when we preach the way? When we preach the way, the Savior's way, we preach Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. I love that passage of Scripture. It is one of my favorites, for we preach not ourselves. Well, then whom do we preach? And what do we preach? We preach Christ Jesus. Not only Christ Jesus, but Christ Jesus as our Lord. And then what? And ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Acts 8 and verse 5, we find a man preaching Christ. This man was Philip, an inspired evangelist. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. What did he preach when he preached Christ? In Acts 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, But when they believed Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When Philip preached good tidings concerning the kingdom of God, he preached the truth about the church. When he preached about Christ, he preached the truth about the authority of Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. So when we preach Christ, we preach the truth about the church. There is but one church. There is but one Christ. If a man does not preach the truth about the one church, he does not preach all the truth about Christ. When we preach and teach the Savior's way, we preach and teach the gospel of Christ, the word of truth. Paul states in Romans 1, 16 and 17, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, But the righteous shall live by faith. The gospel of Christ is the way. We must contend for the way. There is but one way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is one church and one way to heaven. I am alarmed about the tendency in some areas to hide the stringent demands of the way, the idea being to get someone into the church and later break gently to them the New Testament teaching that there is one church and one way to heaven. Friends, I have no desire to hide any of the truth, and yet I want to be kind in stating it. There is one church, and there is but one church. And we must preach the gospel in detail on this point, or else we are not preaching the whole gospel of salvation. Paul said, But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15. Christ also said, And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Christ said, And you shall know the truth, not just guess at it or just think you have it. In John 17:17, He tells us what the truth is. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we preach the truth, and when the truth is obeyed, it purifies our souls. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Friends, I hope that you are embracing this study, this broadcast of the Savior's Way. We're going to take a very brief break, as we do throughout our broadcast, and we want to share with you a free publication today. We are blessed to have a number of online publications, and we're grateful to offer the publication titled Truth. Here is our J-Web with the details of how you can receive your free subscription.
How about another free online publication? Subscribe to Truth, a monthly four-page worldwide publication edited by our friend and brother Roger Campbell. Each issue has 4 to 6 articles of excellent writing and biblical study. Please send us an email at info@internationalgospelhour.com and leave us your name, email address, and write Truth in the message blank. Again, please send an email to info@internationalgospelhour.com and leave your name, email address, and write Truth in the message blank.
And now, friends, let's continue our study of the Savior's way as we talk about this way of salvation is a very narrow way. Our Lord said in Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leads unto life, and few they that find it." Our Lord used a series of contrasts. The straight gate is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, which means not crooked, but straight, which means difficult. In other words, this gate he is speaking of is a gate through which we cannot pass unless we meet the stringest demands. He contrasts the straight gate with the wide gate, the gate that is wide enough to admit all sin and sinners. He then said there is a broad way, but contrasted it with the narrow way. On the broad way there are many who travel, but on the narrow way there are few. There are two destinations. The broad way leads to destruction, but the narrow way leads to heaven itself. This is our Lord's picture concerning the Savior's way. Let us observe that Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter in at the straight gate." Luke recorded it in these words, from Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able." Many of us have probably overlooked that statement in Luke 13:24. Notice what Jesus said, "Strive to enter in." How many of us at this hour have our minds on something else? How many of us have our minds maybe on our jobs or other things? I say there are a number of us who are asleep in the service of Christ and need to remember that Paul said in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee." Christ said one must strive or agonize to enter in. It is a painful, tedious process. One must agonize to go to heaven. How many of us are doing it? I am concerned when I see people take the work of the church so lightly. Some folks act that they are doing those in leadership or someone else a great favor if they happen to come back on a Sunday evening or Wednesday evening and would not think of doing any type of personal evangelistic work. I once read of a man who went to an electrical company to buy some equipment, and while he was there, he observed several different types of equipment and a sign in bold, large letters which read, "Wired for service." Now, folks, that is what I mean. We need to be wired for spiritual service. If we are not, somewhere we have failed, for our Lord said, "Strive to enter in." Having entered at the straight gate by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into the narrow way, what kind of way is it? This way was prophesied in Isaiah 35, verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring men, yea, fools, shall not err therein. Friends, we do not want to forget this prophecy of the way. It was said that it would be a way of holiness. That means those of us who are in the church must be holy without blemish, having no spot or any such thing. It is my conviction that there will be many people in hell because of their pride. They are too proud to live right, and once it is called to their attention, they are too proud to correct it. In fact, many people will never enter the narrow way because they are too proud to enter it and are not willing to meet the demands of Christ to enter. What kind of man does the Lord respect, we would ask. In Isaiah 62 in verse 2, For all these things hath my hand made, and so all these things came to be, saith Jehovah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. If one is not very humble, he cannot enter in at the straight gate, travel the narrow way, and reach heaven. Our Lord gave three characteristics of the man to whom he would look. Such a one will have to be a man of who is contrite spirit, a man that is poor in spirit, a man that has poverty of spirit, a man who respectfully trembles at God's word. In Matthew 5:3, Jesus said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I care not how long one has been a child of God. If he needs to repent, he ought to be willing to do it. This is true of all of us, or of any of us. I pray that I will never get to the point that I become too proud to confess my sins and repent of them. I have heard people say they were not ashamed of anything they ever did. Well, I am frank to say that I am ashamed of every sin that I have ever committed. This way is a way of holiness, and unless we are holy, we shall not be able to convert others. For example, suppose you wanted a nice red apple. A man had a bushel of beautiful, delicious red apples. He offered you one to eat, but you noticed that his hand was afflicted with huge open boils. Would you take the apple from his hand? There was not a flaw in the apple, but the hand was diseased. We need to make sure that our lives adorn the gospel of Christ. From Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul writes, The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If your life is out of step, you need to correct your mistakes. And our Father is waiting to forgive you, and angels are waiting to rejoice. As we bring this lesson to a close, may I suggest to you that there are many paradoxes of the cross. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Why did he do so? He did so that you and I might go to heaven. In John 14, beginning with verse 1, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Think with me also, friends, that Christ was born in the flesh. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 affirms, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ was born in the flesh that we might be born of God. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith, 1 John 5, 4. In addition to that, Christ lived and died in poverty that we might live in poverty and inherit everlasting riches. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 affirms, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. There are many other things that could be said about the Savior's way, but again I emphasize that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. The church is referred to as the way, the only way. The church is certainly adequate and sufficient. Many passages show that this conclusion is irresistible. We must remember that there is a straight gate leading into the narrow way, and we must be holy as we walk the narrow way in order that heaven may be ours to enjoy forever. But the sad fact remains, there is a wide gate that leads into the broad way, and one enters in without any effort. If he travels the broad way and dies on it, he will forever suffer in the place called hell. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So friends, when we preach Christ as the way, we preach Christ. We preach the church. We preach the gospel. We preach the word. And we preach the truth. And if anyone desires to enter the way by faith in God, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. When we believe in God, we embrace the command of repentance. For Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3, "Nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance was to be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Luke 24:44-46. And when repentance was preached upon the day of Pentecost, they could only change a pricked heart by repentance, a change of decision resulting in a change of direction, Acts 2:37-41. When we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, as Jesus commanded in Matthew 10:32-33, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And then when we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. And based upon our faith, baptism saves us, Mark 16:16 and 1 Peter 3:21. When we do that, then we enter into the way. The Lord will add one to his church, Acts 2:47. Christ will be one's leader. And friends, if we have not walked faithful to God, he will always take us back by repentance and confession of our sins, Acts 8:20-23, and 1 John 1:9. Friends, we want everyone to walk the Savior's way. I hope this study has been of help to you today, and I'm going to defer once again to our J. Webb. Maybe we have prompted you to think on some things concerning your life, and you would like to study a little further. We believe that our free by-mail Bible course will be just what you need. Here is our J. Webb to let you know how you can receive that free course by mail.
Our well-received Bible study course by mail is available to everyone absolutely free. Would you like to try it? All you do is call us toll-free at 855-444-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say home study. That's it. That's all you have to do. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type home study in the message box. At your own pace, you can study the Bible in your own home. Again, it's free. Give it a try, and it's from your friends here at International Gospel Hour.
Friends, there is no greater joy than to walk the Savior's way. And yes, friends, as we strive to walk within, as we obey God and walk according to His will and His way, how grateful we are for the grace of God that has brought salvation. It's appeared to all men, Titus 2:11-12. It teaches and it instructs us what we should leave and how we should live. I am grateful for the grace of God and for the Savior's way. A little bit of background about the lesson that you heard today. First of all, I am thankful for our friend Paul Sane and SanePublications.com for the book of sermons titled, simply, The Savior's Way. Now, these sermons were preached by the late Garland Elkins in 1965, nearly 60 years ago as of this recording. They were preached at the Morrison, Tennessee Church of Christ, and the lessons are most worthy and relevant today. We're going to continue this series in our next weekly broadcast, simply titled, The Savior's Way. how thankful we are for such a study together. Because, friends, we want to enter in through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And as mentioned by Brother Elkins in our study today, when we preach Jesus Christ as the way, and He is the only way, we're going to preach Christ, we're going to preach His church, His gospel, His word, and preach the truth. We hope that this will strengthen and help you in your study of the Word of God. Again, if you'd like to receive our Bible course by mail, call us at 855-444-6988. Leave us your name and address and just say home study. If you'd like to go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, just click on the contact tab and leave us the same information, name, address, and type home study. We hope that you will follow us on Facebook. We hope you'll check out our broadcast on our YouTube channel, which is International Gospel Hour. And we hope the free online publication titled Truth will be of help. Again, when you are there requesting your Bible study course by mail, also write Truth in the message box, and we will see that you get that information very soon. But for now, friends, we'll continue our studies together at another time. Thank you for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour broadcast. I'm Jeff Archie, and friends, as always, keep listening.
God be with you till we...
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. To God goes all the glory, and we hope that our study today will draw you closer to His Word to walk in His way. To listen to it again or our other broadcasts, please visit our website at internationalgospelhour.com. God be with you.